I call this meeting of the House Commerce Committee to order, and the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Stevenson.
Present.
Chair Cotizza-Watoon.
Present.
Representative O'Driscoll. Representative O'Driscoll. Representative Barr.
Here.
Representative Carlson.
Carlson present.
Representative Dabney.
Present.
Representative Elkins.
Elkins present.
Representative Haley. Representative Haley. Representative Kegel.
Present.
Representative Lee. Representative Lee. Representative Lilly. Representative Lilly. Representative Listlegard.
Representative Listlegard's present.
Representative Lucero.
Lucero here.
Representative Olson.
Present.
Representative Farr.
Farr present.
Representative Rasmussen.
Rasmussen present.
Representative Richardson.
Present.
Representative Tice.
Present.
And Representative O'Driscoll.
Oh, did you not hear?
Representative O'Driscoll.
O'Driscoll present.
Representative Haley. Representative Lee. Representative Lilly.
Members, we do have a quorum. So if other members join us as we continue along today, I'll try to keep an eye on that. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for yesterday, April 5th, 2022?
Madam Chair.
Chair Stevenson moves approval of the minutes for April 5th, 2022. Members, any discussion to that motion? Hearing none, those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes for April 5th, 2022 are adopted. Only item on the agenda today is House File 3607. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move your bill?
Madam Chair, I would move that the bill be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Chair Stevenson moves that House File 3607 be recommended to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe the A22-0406 amendment?
I would move the A220406 amendment. Members, this is the delete everything amendment that gets the bill transformed into the commerce omnibus. I will withhold describing that omnibus in detail at this moment because we did have a whole committee hearing yesterday where it was described by nonpartisan staff. But there's a lot of good provisions in here and I'm excited to have a conversation about them today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we will move the amendment before us now. Members, there are a number of amendments to the amendment, and then later we will vote on the amendment as amended. So Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe the A4 amendment to the amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move the A4 amendment. This makes some edits to the language about the jurisdiction of the Commerce Fraud Bureau. We did have a discussion about this in committee, and one of the comments that we heard from the Republican members on the committee and from stakeholders was about the need for some guardrails to put in place. And so we've been working on that language. This amendment incorporates those guardrails, requiring, among other things, that the CFB spend 70% of their time working on insurance fraud cases. That corresponds to the money that is obtained through assessments on insurance policies in one form or fashion. So I would ask for members to support the A4 amendment.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a point of inquiry. Are you wanting to have discussion by members on the amendments as we come through them, or do you want to try to do all the amendments, you know, once the bill has been marked up, have comments from members?
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll, for that question. If members have discussion to a particular amendment to the amendment, we will take that before voting on the amendment, and then we will discuss the DE as amended at the end.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Then to that point, I do have a couple of questions on the amendment that's before us on here. My questions, I know that the Chair has been working on this, and the funds that come from the fraud investigation for insurance are levied against the licensees and the companies that are here. But if we're going to use 70% of that, what's the other 30% going to be used for if it's not going to be used for insurance-related matters? And the funding is coming from 100% from insurance-related sources for fraud investigation.
Chair Stevenson?
A couple of things there. One, Representative Driscoll, this bill changes the funding for the Commerce Fraud Bureau, so it doesn't 100% come from insurance policies and insurance assessments anymore. We have a general fund appropriation to the Commerce Fraud Bureau in this bill, and that's where that 70% number actually comes from, because if you do the math, it gets pretty close to 70% that will be coming from insurance assessments, and the remaining funds come from the general fund. As to what they'll be doing, that's in the underlying bill as well as altered by this amendment. It allows them to also work on financial crimes.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the point of financial crimes, do we have a definition of what those financial crimes might be, or a nexus or a linking to insurance?
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, they don't have to have a link to insurance, which is kind of the point that we want to give the Commerce Fraud Bureau the ability to do white-collar fraud investigations beyond just insurance crimes, because they've been doing a little bit of that work growing out of their insurance work, and they're exceptionally capable, exceptionally good at it. And that's what we found out with the Office of the Legislative Auditor report that we discussed in committee. As for financial crimes, what you're talking about, there's a variety of crimes in Chapter 609 that you can take a look at, whether it's theft by swindle, forgery, aggravated forgery, things of identity theft, things of that nature that relate to financial crimes.
Representative O'Driscoll, follow up?
I just appreciate the clarification. Those are some major changes that are going on here, and I wanted the folks in Minnesota and the folks in the community to be able to hear what the Chair's plan is for modifying the Fraud Investigation Bureau within the Minnesota Department of Commerce.
Very good. Thank you. Members, any further discussion to the A4 amendment to the amendment? All right. In that case, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A4 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe the A6 amendment to the amendment?
The A6 amendment makes a series of changes to Representative Robbins' bill relating to banning the use of algorithm-driven content for youth. Representative Robbins has been working on this bill since it left our committee, and she made some changes in the Judiciary Committee that were reflected in the DE, but she had a few further tweaks to work on, including a limit on the amount of statutory penalties that can be levied upon a social media company for each violation. We don't limit general or specific damages, but we do limit statutory penalties. But this is Representative Robbins's work that I am offering because she is not a member of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, any discussion to the A6 amendment to the amendment? Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if this question is best for Representative Stevenson or for nonpartisan, but for the $100,000 per calendar year cap, I was just wondering if you could clarify if that applies to just the statutory $1,000 per violation, or does that cap apply to any other potential damages?
Chair Stevenson.
Yeah, so this was actually carefully drawn to just apply to the statutory penalties. So that the section authorizes three types of damages, general and specific. In Clause A, the statutory penalties in Clause B, and then C says any other remedy available under law. The $100,000 cap applies only to to paragraph B, which is the statutory penalties.
Representative Rasmussen, any follow-up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That answers my question.
Very good. Members, any further discussion to the A6 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A6 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe the A7 amendment to the amendment?
Madam Chair, I move the A7 amendment, which relates to market conduct exams in the insurance industry. This is actually language taken from the underlying bill that we deleted when we did the delete everything. Well, we haven't actually adopted the delete everything amendment, but when we do, we will be deleting this language from the underlying bill. And this is putting it back in, though not all of it. This reflects language that has been worked out between stakeholders and the Department of Commerce from that bill relating to the conduct of market conduct exams, the way market conduct exams are conducted. No, I was trying to avoid using conduct twice. Failed both times. But in any event, this reflects an agreement between the stakeholders and the Department of Commerce. They are continuing to work on the other outstanding issues, and we are continuing to consult with them. But this is the language that has been agreed to so far.
Right. Members, any discussion to the A7 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails and the A7 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe the A8 amendment to the amendment?
Madam Chair, I move the A8 amendment, which deletes House File 2916 from the Delete Everything amendment. This was a bill authored by Representative Ryer that we heard early in session relating to dental insurance. The stakeholders would like to continue to work on that issue in the interim, and so we are going to remove it from the Delete Everything amendment.
Members, any discussion to the A8 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A8 amendment, A7 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe?
I think that was the A8.
Was it? I apologize, my screen moved in between. So, all right, the A8 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Chair Stevenson, would you like to now move and describe the A9 amendment to the amendment?
I would. The A9 amendment relates to Representative Richardson's catalytic converter provisions that are in the bill. And we are adding the phrase, who is not a registered scrap dealer, to the prohibition upon people possessing catalytic converters. Committee members will remember that last year we adopted some pretty rigorous controls on scrap dealers and how they would process catalytic converters. So it makes sense to exempt them from this prohibition since there's a lot of controls about what they need to do when they're processing catalytic converters. So I'd ask members to support the A9.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, any discussion to the A9 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails and the A9 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe the A10 amendment to the amendment?
Madam Chair, I would move the A10 amendment, which relates to Representative Wasilewicz's bill on homeowners associations. This reflects an agreement between the Bar Association, the Homeowners Association, Legal Aid, Representative Wasilewicz. They work together to find some compromise language that makes this more of a notice issue. So I would urge the A10 amendment's adoption.
Members, any discussion to the A10 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A10 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe the A12 amendment to the amendment?
Madam Chair, I will move the A12 amendment. This amendment relates primarily to my bill relating to licensing. This was a very complex fiscal note that we actually didn't get completed until Monday. And so we had to make some adjustments to the appropriation to reflect how the fiscal note came in. Ultimately, due to the state of the fiscal note, We are excluding the Department of Human Services, the Minnesota Department of Health, and the various health boards from this bill this year, and essentially handling all of the other licensing agencies in the state with this bill. And then we will come back, hopefully in a future year, and address those agencies. We also put a little bit more money into the auto theft prevention account to reach our target.
Members, any discussion to the A12 amendment to the amendment? Hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And any opposed? The motion prevails and the A12 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe the final amendment, the A13 amendment to the amendment?
Madam Chair, I would move the A13 amendment, which reflects compromise language adopted between the Dental Association and various other stakeholders to Representative Ryer's bill related to dental insurance. She had two. We took one of them out. This is the other one. It's House File 2673, but it reflects a compromise between the stakeholders, and I urge members' support.
Members, any discussion to the A13 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A13 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Now, Chair Stevenson will renew his motion to adopt the A22-0406 amendment as amended. Members, any discussion to the A22? Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just trying to get my video on here. My apologies. Couple of questions. We've been hearing references to targets today in the community and meeting targets and complicated fiscal notes and targets and some of the general fund money that's going from our target to the Fraud Bureau investigation. Maybe you or the chair could tell us a little bit more about how much the committee was allocated and when did we get that money and how that's all playing out today in our conversations. And we have joint targets yet set between the House and the Senate. I'm just wondering if someone could maybe give the committee an update here on the status. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Chair Stevenson, would you like to address that?
So we do not have joint targets with, Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, we do not have joint targets with the Senate as of today. Target for this committee, and Ms. Eng might be able to give you the precise number, but it was a little over $7 million or over $7 million in the biennium and another five in the tails, as I recall. So that's roughly what we're working for with. I don't have it of course is reflected on the spreadsheet for the bill, but I don't know if Ms. Eng can give us the specific numbers.
Ms. Eng?
Yes, it was $7,815,000 in fiscal year 23 and $6,520,000 in the tails.
Representative O'Driscoll, follow up.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Again, we had some discussion about targets and things, and I'm just kind of was curious of where we're at. I do have another follow-up question, though, Madam Chair, if I could.
Go right ahead.
And it has to do with page 8, lines 8.24 through really the end of that subdivision 11 or section 10, excuse me. And that subdivision 2, I received a communication that was addressed to myself, Representative Richardson, and the chair from the Minnesota Mortgage Association. And it came in very late for all of us. And I'm just wondering if there's any discussion or if Representative Richardson, because I understand that this is her provision that they were talking about, if she has any information to share of thoughts or reflections on the concerns that the Minnesota Mortgage Association had for the lien assessment authority on here. And if it's worthy of an amendment for the committee to be looking at to kind of clean up some of their concerns.
Chair Stevenson. Excuse me. Yep. Chair Stevenson.
I actually think it is not Representative Richardson's. I just went back to look at the amendment. It is the email that we received from Mr. Schweitz. He included Representative Richardson because he lives in Representative Richardson's district. But the language in question comes from the governor's budget provision. you are correct that it's an issue that has arisen. You know, this email was sent at 4:58 yesterday. Mr. Schweitz, of course, did appear in our committee yesterday and testified. It was the first communication. I apologize if I'm mistaken, but I believe it was the first communication I had received from him expressing concerns. Your question was, are there ongoing conversations? Other than this email, I have not had the opportunity to dig further into this issue today, but I'm absolutely very willing to do so.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson. I think we do have one of the assistant commissioners from the department, Representative O'Driscoll, if you have any further follow-up on that particular issue.
Maybe they could give us a briefing on it. Again, I fully underscore what the chair said. It came in late to all of us. And I know that Representative Richardson and myself are on the committee as obviously as the chair. And so I just would like to be able to have an opportunity because this bill is most likely going to be leaving our committee today where that would sounds like it might be committee work. And I just want to make sure that if it's something that we need to be looking at, that we've got a circuit breaker to be able to do that, Madam Chair.
Certainly. Commissioner Brickwitty, you turn your video on.
Madam Chair, for the record, Assistant Commissioner Peter Brickwitty for the department, Representative O'Driscoll, I have not personally been involved in any of the communications back and forth with the Mortgage Association, but my understanding is that there has been discussion over the weekend, and I think we've been able to resolve some, but perhaps not all concerns. So again, not having personally been involved, I don't think I can give a complete recitation, but I would echo Mr. Schweitz's comments from yesterday during his testimony that the department reciprocally feels that it has a very strong working relationship with their organization and with the mortgage originators generally as an industry. And so I would imagine that we will continue to work together to try to address the concerns that he raised on an ongoing basis as this bill moves forward.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, thank you. And Mr. Brickwitty, thank you for your comments this afternoon on this. I always get a little concerned when we start talking about the Minnesota Mortgage Association having some issues when it comes to mortgages. That is how the vast majority of people in the state of Minnesota finance the purchase and sale of real estate. And if they have concerns, there are probably some legitimate concerns that they maybe have experienced in partner states or in other markets. And I want to make sure that we keep mortgages available and that we don't have any kind of qualifiers or limitations that would present problems for Minnesotans being able to get a mortgage, I should say, technically give a mortgage and arrange financing for the purchase of real estate. So maybe, Madam Chair, maybe a question to the chair on this, if I could.
Certainly, go right ahead.
Chair Stevenson, as this continues to move, I know this bill has to go to Ways and Means and it'll also end up hitting the floor at this point. I trust that you are familiar with the issues. You got the communication, and that, as Mr. Brickwitty said, they're going to continue to work together. I don't even have to ask you this. You will continue to work with them and apply appropriate amendments to help hopefully ease their fears going forward. Am I correct?
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Driscoll, you are absolutely correct, and I appreciate the question because it gives me a chance to say that on the record, even though, as you said, it was a given that I would do that, but I appreciate the opportunity to make that clear.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No more questions at this time. Thank you.
Members, any further discussion to the A22-0406 amendment as amended? Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A22-0406 amendment as amended is adopted. Members, any discussion to the bill as amended? Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, you saw my camera and my mic come back on before I even got my hand up. I do have one other question, and that is, with the market conduct bill and the Fraud Bureau investigation things. Those are two very important things that are to different constituencies. Again, it's my hope that we will continue to be able to work on and refine this as we move from the committee and into perhaps Ways and Means or on the floor and maybe eventually to a conference committee. I do understand that there are still some questions and some things that we may have to do in tightening up some language in a few of these things. And again, it's my hope and my request that we continue to keep those things in mind as we move forward. I do get reluctant, like many people, to pass things out of committee before the committee's done with its work, but I'm also sensitive to our deadlines. Sometimes you don't get to control some of those variables, and we do have to fix them as we move on. So again, it's my hope that we will continue to do the things that are necessary to be able to help ease the fears of other people so we can get some meaningful reforms here. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. And I would like to say that I appreciate your leadership as well as Chair Stevenson's leadership on how our bills move through the process and the good work that we've been able to do together in the Commerce Committee so far this year. Chair Stevenson, any comments?
You know, I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said, Madam Chair, and with what Representative O'Driscoll said, that, you know, in an ideal world, we would have some complete agreement, button down language on both of those provisions, which are very important, leaving committee. But we do have deadlines, and we do need, and I think that we're a good way of the way there on both of these very important bills. But absolutely true that more work can be done, and we have more opportunities to do them. And I am very open on to doing that work on both the market conduct and the Commerce Fraud Bureau. I think those are two areas that are really important to get right.
Members, any further discussion to the bill as amended? Okay, Chair Stevenson, I'll give you final comments.
Well, I appreciate the discussion on this bill and on its various component bills throughout the year, and I'd urge members to support the bill today.
Okay. Chair Stevenson renews his motion that House File 3607, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Stevenson.
Aye.
Stevenson, aye. Chair Cotiza-Watoon.
Aye.
Cotiza-Watoon, aye. Representative O'Driscoll.
O'Driscoll, no.
Representative Barr.
No.
Barr, no. Representative Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Dabney.
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Haley.
Haley, no.
Haley, no. Representative Cagle.
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Lee.
Lee, aye.
Lee, aye. Representative Lilly. Representative Lislegard.
Aye.
Lislegard, aye. Representative Lucero.
Lucero, no.
Lucero, no. Representative Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Farr.
Farr, no.
Farr, no. Representative Rasmussen.
Rasmussen, no.
Rasmussen, no. Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Tice.
Tice, no.
There being 10 ayes and 7 nays, the motion prevails, and House File 3607, as amended, is recommended to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Nonpartisan staff is authorized to make any technical changes necessary to reflect the will of the committee. And members, I will apologize. I misspoke at the start of the hearing today. The only official motions that business that we were conducting was the passage of this House File 3607, but we do have some informational hearings on three liquor bills. So next we have a draft bill, CK-204, from Representative Bolden. I believe she is here with us. Representative Bolden, perhaps not. Oh, there you are. Very good. Representative Bolden, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to present this language before you today for consideration in the liquor bill. As you said, this language is labeled CK-204 in the committee materials. This issue was brought to me by the Rochester Softball Association, a group in Rochester that helps to carry out functions related to the concession stands at one of our larger field complexes, McQuillan Field. In Rochester, our city's Parks and Recreation Department partners extensively with local sports associations for programming. And as part of that, groups like the Rochester Softball Association rely on concession operations as a source of fundraising. Rochester Softball Association is seeking special legislation in order to sell wine and beer at the complex during adult events. This is a very specific request for a specific park and softball complex in Rochester. I believe this committee has considered similar bills from Wilmer, Sauk Rapids, and Town Ball earlier this year. So with that, I'll turn it over to my testifier, Mr. Brad Tiedekin with the Rochester Softball Association. I also have folks from the City of Rochester here available for any technical questions.
Thank you, Representative Bolden. And Mr. Tiedekin, if you could introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Hello to all. My name is Brad Tiedekin, president of the Rochester Softball Association. Madam Chair and committee members, the Rochester Softball Association is a 501c3 nonprofit. Our mission centers around improvements to McQuillan Field Softball Complex in Southeast Rochester. The facility has served the softball community in Rochester for over 40 years. Currently, over 100 teams play adult league softball from April through October every year. It also hosts many youth, adult, and senior softball tournaments and hosts other activities such as kickball leagues, along with adult and youth football leagues. Thank you to Representative Bolden for helping to carry this provision that we hope will be added into the omnibus liquor bill, and to the chair and the committee for the opportunity and time today. To fulfill its mission, RSA runs a concession stand serving the complex of 7 softball fields. One of our major revenue generators is beer sales during adult tournaments and league play. The Rochester City ordinance that we have operated under for decades limits the type of beer sold and the hours we may sell. It was standard language for the times when written. However, times have changed and the laws have changed. As you know, with the changes to availability and preferences related to 3-2 beer, we are needing to seek this legislative change. As Representative Bolden said, in Rochester, we are one of the local organizations that the city works with to provide park and recreation programming, and we utilize and rely on fundraising from concession stand sales to carry out this community mission. Fundraising revenues are put back into the facility. We make improvements and work with the park and rec department with the goal to keep McQuillan Field at national tournament standards. This language would be very helpful as we continue working to provide solid and sound softball programming at the McQuillan Field complex in Rochester. We request the committee's consideration of the language in the liquor bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tiedekin. Members, any discussion to the proposal CK204? Okay, with that, I will give Representative Bolden the opportunity for any final comments.
Just a thank you, Madam Chair, to members for considering this proposal, and would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative
Bolden. Madam Chair?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to clarify for members and for and the public before we continue. The reason why we're giving these bills informational hearings is because we want to consider adding them to the omnibus liquor bill, which has already left our committee. So these are not, strictly speaking, informational hearings in that, they, you know, often we do an informational hearing for a bill that isn't going to move forward in the process. Each of these three bills is very much alive and very much in play to be included in the liquor omnibus, which is currently in Ways and Means. So if members have questions or concerns, they should definitely articulate them, because these bills are alive.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Chair. All right, we'll move on to House File 2982 from our very own Representative McDonald. Representative McDonald, to your bill. Looks like you're still muted, Representative McDonald.
Madam Chair.
Hello.
My name is John Lynch. Hi. And okay. Joe's at another meeting.
Oh, well,
and I was going to talk on the bill. So I don't know if Joe's back yet or not, but he's at a veterans, another Zoom meeting. So I don't know if he's done with that yet.
Thank you for the heads up on that. And so, Chair Stevenson, would you like to move ahead with your bill, and then we can come back to Representative McDonald after that?
I think that sounds like a very good idea.
All right, very good. So it's draft bill CK-203, and Chair Stevenson, please continue on. Mr. Lynch, we'll come back to you shortly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This bill relates to the wonderful city of Anoka in the Northwest Metro, the Halloween capital of the world. If you haven't had a chance to visit Anoka's historic downtown, I strongly encourage you to do so. Just a block off of Main Street is Jackson Street in historic downtown Anoka, which contains a number of restaurants, bars, and there's a brewery right around the corner, 10K on 2nd Avenue there. It's a wonderful place to visit. It's just off of the Rum River. In fact, you can travel by boat up the Mississippi River and up the Rum and park at the municipal docks and walk, as I have done, to one of the great establishments there on Jackson Street and have a pleasant summer evening. It's a great place to spend an evening year round, but particularly in our nice summer months. The city of Anoka approached me a while back to talk about an idea of further enhancing Jackson Street with making it what they are calling a social district. And a social district is an idea that is common in other states, but we don't have them in Minnesota. But essentially the idea would be that you would be able to purchase a refreshing beverage from one of the fine establishments in Anoka and walk outside with it, consume it outside, enjoy the atmosphere there on Jackson Street and the surrounding area of the social district, and have a pleasant evening. And I thought it was a great idea. It would be a wonderful addition to Anoka. I've been to similar social districts in other states and thought it would be a nice feature for our state. So we worked to draft up some language, and we have it here before the committee today. And Madam Chair, I know there is someone from the city of Anoka here to offer some further comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have Doug Borglund with the city of Anoka. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Doug Borglund. I'm the city's community development director. As mentioned, we have a beautiful downtown, historic downtown. And what we're working on is creating a downtown entertainment district. This is an area of the city right in the heart of our downtown where majority of our bar and restaurant businesses are located. And what we're trying to do is create much more social, pedestrian-oriented, kind of a shoppertainment type of district where folks can enjoy themselves, embrace in our historical infrastructure, and enjoy our downtown. We've been seeing a growing trend across the country introducing these social type of districts where businesses are able to, bar and restaurant businesses can sell alcohol to their patrons, and they can leave the building or leave the patio area within a boundary set by the city that would allow them to interact and enjoy the area. A good example maybe is like a Fremont Street or a that type of thing in Las Vegas, or there's Nashville. So there are bigger cities doing this, but there are also smaller communities such as North Carolina who recently adopted language in state statute. And we're just hoping to be able to create something like this. We are planning on 2025 rebuilding Jackson Street to create the infrastructure that would support this type of social activity, meaning being able to close off streets, things like that, to contain the area. And we're going through a master planning process this summer and working with our public and our businesses to develop a vision for 2025. And we hope that social districts can be a part of our master plan. So we do appreciate the opportunity and your consideration of the draft language this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Borglund. Members, any discussion? Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my question is, I've never been accused of being the life of the party. So this is not an area that I have a great deal of experience in. So I'm just curious then, in the upper Midwest, is there any states maybe surrounding us that do have social, what's it called, social districts?
Thank you, Representative Lucero. And sometimes with your choice of attire, I find that hard to believe, your sparkly suits. Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, you know, not aware of any states that allow this.
Representative Lissigard, you are, thank you for muting.
I can't think of any. I don't know if other members of the committee have experience, but I can't think of any that border us that do that.
Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, it was not, I'm intrigued by the idea, just trying to get a baseline if there's, you know, where the nearest to Minnesota where this might actually be something in existence. But if we don't know answers offhand, or it looks like the chair has a comment.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson.
Yeah, Mr. Borglund mentioned Nashville. There's also, I know Kansas City does this. It's worth noting, I think, that there, of course, are temporary things that are like this that occur in Minnesota, you know, when we have street festivals. The other place that is kind of analogous is the State Fair, where you obviously can do this. So it's not totally without precedent, but this obviously would be a much more constant presence. I don't know if it'll be constant, but, you know, continual presence than what has happened in Minnesota previously.
Representative Lucero?
Thank you. That's all I have.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This question is for Mr. Borglund. I'm curious about this. It's an interesting idea. And I'm pretty sure that if Anoka gets this, we're going to have a litany of other cities that come in. I just want to have some discussions because I do think we have some time today. Would this permit you to be able to offer this social district availability during regular service hours? In other words, when bars can be open, observing the 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock closing times and some of those kinds of things. Is the language allowing that kind of coverage in the social district, sir?
Mr. Borglund.
Yes, thank you. I can respond. At least from our perspective, obviously the enabling law that's proposed would direct city, allow cities to do something like this. But the specific policies set by ordinance, once an enabling law is adopted at the local level, would include how we would operate, the boundary that's of the district, those types of things. I mean, our plan is, I mean, we our downtown is very family orientated, and so we would be looking, you know, probably, you know, trying to maintain hours of, you know, 5 to 10 o'clock at night, because we do have downtown residents in our downtown, so we would need to be courteous of those who live in our downtown, and also from control standpoint, and just maintaining a pleasant environment for all. 10 o'clock would probably be an appropriate time that we would end something like this, but it would be during business hours, but not going into the late hours of the evening or anything like that.
Madam Chair.
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to note that the bill does require that in that enabling ordinance, the city not only establish the boundaries and other things that Mr. Borglund was talking about, but hours are one of the things that they would have to clearly delineate in the enabling ordinance. So they would have to describe when it would be open. That's a requirement of the bill.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just another follow-up on that. Does the ordinance require, or will there be any restrictions on the type of alcohol, the intoxicating level of the alcohol? I'm seeing 16-ounce fluid containers here. No glass. That kind of cues me in that it might be more of a beer-orientated. And I know that some of the other, beverages come in glass containers and things. I understand the safety issues on those and why we would want to have that. But, is there anything on limiting the intoxicating levels of the liquor, or do you anticipate that, or have you thought about or contemplated that? Again, I'm just trying to get my head around this because I think this is a very interesting idea.
Chair Stevenson?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll. You know, there's nothing in the bill that restricts it to beer or wine. The term used in the bill is alcoholic beverages, so it could be broader than that. I don't know if Mr. Borglund can speak to what the city would contemplate in their ordinance, because of course they could further limit it in their ordinance.
Mr. Borglund, do you have any further comment?
I do not have any further comments at this time on that specific item.
Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll, any further follow-up?
Just the last question, again, because we've seen these kinds of, you know, in bars where they also have, for the lack of a better term, you know, these jello shots and some of these other kind of novelty items that they sell on things. Would this be allowed to be able to be used and purchased and moved from one location to another as well? I'm going to suspect that, for lack of a better term, I could get a 16-pack of those. I don't think they're much more than an ounce anyhow. So, again, just some things to contemplate, because if you do it right, we're going to be more inclined to give other cities and communities the ability to be able to do this. If it blows up on all of us, which I hope it doesn't, because I do think this is a very interesting idea, you can be the role model for the rest of the state. And that's why I want to ask you these questions so you can contemplate those.
Yes, I am curious how the Jell-O shot amendment to the liquor bill would go with the different container sizes, Representative Stevenson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll. I think these are good questions to talk about. And, you know, I think Mr. Borglund noted that the city of Anoka is planning on taking a very thoughtful process to developing this over the course of the summer and into the future. This is not something that we passed this year and it's gonna be open on Memorial Day. It's something that they are gonna be careful about and think about how it would fit in their city. So it's good to raise those issues, and I'm sure the city will take a very deliberative process in thinking about that. I did get a note here, Representative Driscoll, that you said the first mention of Jell-O shot in the House Commerce Committee. So congratulations.
I'll thank Representative Cagle as our historian for that.
Yeah.
Am I correct? I would bet that's another topic you've had in this committee. Game.
Actually, it was Mr. Brown. It was Mr.
Brown. Very well played by our CA. All right.
Representative Barr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Borglund, I had a couple of quick questions for Mr. Borglund. It might sound just a little odd, but as far as the Jell-O shots go, I can see where a 2-ounce margarita might not go very far, kind of thing. So, but it is a good point that does need to be raised. Also, Mr. Borglund mentioned Jackson Street. I'm assuming Jackson between 2nd and 3rd, and that might be something that we'd want to consider as this goes forward to say something that along the lines of whatever street is blocked off or the social district shouldn't be like a state highway or a main thoroughfare through the town. I know some of smaller towns, like I grew up in towns of 1,200, 1,500, and you did block off the main drag, sort of. It was parallel to the main drag, which Jackson Street is parallel to Main. So just something to consider as you're going forward, if that's what you're thinking about, is that one block there on Jackson that, you know, this doesn't carry over into Main Street. So your social district doesn't go across and pick up like Nucky's and tie it in with the stuff over by the courthouse. That might be just a hair big, and we could have a little problem with people wandering across the street and tripping in Main Street, right? Just something to keep in mind. Thank you.
Mr. Borglund, any response?
Yes, certainly. No, the plan is not to cross any major thoroughfares. This is about a block and a half area that is basically local streets. It doesn't involve any county or state highways. And the way we would design this is that it would be, you know, very, very contained to that area. And that's part of the infrastructure that we plan to build with this. So the city will be planning to spend a lot of money to create this environment to help support this type of activity.
Thank you, Mr. Borglund. Representative Barr, did you have any further comments or questions? Your hand is still up. All right, I'll go back to Representative Lucero and you can come back if necessary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question. Not knowing exactly, I drive through Anoka frequently, but I don't know exactly where this is. Does this area, does the famous Anoka parade go through this area, or will the parade be rerouted to go near this area?
Chair Stevenson or Mr. Borglin?
I think Mr. Borglin was ready to answer that question.
I apologize, but no, the parade will not go through this area. The parade is usually along Main Street. This is a block off of Main Street, where, like I said, a majority of our bar and restaurants are located. And I should mention, we do host annually something called the Food Truck Festival. We have 60 food trucks. We kind of contain it very similar to how this would operate. And the layout is very similar to what we already do with the Food Truck Festival if we were looking at a district. And so we already kind of practice these type of events. And so we've gotten very good at managing larger crowds or activity like this. We've kind of become known for our events. So it's something that we've become very good at.
Thank you, Mr. Borglin. Representative Lucero, any follow-up?
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. While we were chatting here, I did just try to do a little bit of verification on my memory that State Street in Wisconsin is not an open container social district. That was the only adjoining state that I thought might have something similar, but it's not looking like that, Mr. Chair, on online. So just wanted to chip in with that. So do you have any final comments, Chair Stevenson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's always good to know that Minnesota will be once again ahead of Wisconsin in doing something good and novel. Members, thank you for the good discussion. I think you've given us a lot to think about with this proposal, which I do intend to add to the omnibus liquor bill in ways and means. I'm excited to see what Anoka is able to do with this. I think they're the ideal location to check this out. And if you haven't ever had the chance to make your way to Jackson Street, I would encourage you to do so. Get some of the great wings that they have at Serum's. After we pass our omnibus liquor bill, you'll be able to go over to 10K Brewery and get a six pack of their great beer and really have a pleasant time even before we get the social district up and running. So thanks for the good discussion, members.
Thank you. Just want to make sure that we have Representative McDonald back with us. Very good. I see you. Welcome back to committee. And we now have House File 2982. So Representative McDonald, to your bill.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. And committee, thank you so much for hearing this bill. This is another opportunity for us to be above and beyond the state of Wisconsin. Current law in Minnesota allows for municipalities to give a limited temporary liquor license for town festivals and events. In this case, the city of Delano is going to have host the American Legion Amateur Baseball Tournament this summer with another city. My testifier, past commander Jack Lynch, will give a little bit more information. And that tournament lasts longer than the current state law. So my bill would extend the temporary license for the municipalities to give out community events that accommodate longer events, such as the baseball tournament. So this would have the potential for being good for every corner of the state of Minnesota and gives more freedom to communities who are having such a good event. So that is the bill in a nutshell, Madam Chair. And I do have a testifier, Legion Commander Jack Lynch, to give the testimony as well.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. Mr. Lynch, please reintroduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Okay, my name is Jack Lynch. I'm with the Delano Athletic Association. And we've been in existence since 1948. Joe referred to the American Legion. This bill is more for town ball, town team baseball. And what it is now is we have to pick and choose with the law the way it is. We're allowed four events, which would be like four ball games. And then we have to get Dram Shop involved in it. So we have to pick what weekends we're going to do it, or what games we're going to do it. And then we get the insurance, and we got to make sure everything matches. Well, if you have a rainout, we're back to square one. Then we're going back to the city of Delano, changing dates on the liquor license. And then we got to get a hold of the insurance company again, change the dates on that. What we'd like to do is see if there's a way that we could run it from, say, May 1st through Labor Day weekend. That's usually the full season of amateur baseball. And we have hosted American Legion tournaments, and we've sold beer there for that. We got special permission to do that. But we'd like to be able to extend that, like I said, for a season, if that would be possible. And that's more or less the gist of it. I know Joe's got two bills out there. One is to increase it from 4 to 12, and which anything we can get is great. But I do think the best that we could do would be if we could do it for a season. And I'll entertain any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch. Members, any discussion to House File 2982? Seeing none, Representative McDonald, final comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Also, just to get back to the last bill, the pizza man in Anoka, good friend of mine, great pizza, right in downtown Anoka. I had to give that plug or he wouldn't be happy with me. Anyway, well, thank you, Chair Cesar Watun and Chair Stevenson for seeing this bill. As you probably have read, the bill is very short and it does extend days temporarily for community events. So it's not just for Delano, for the American, for the town ball. I was hoping to bat 1,000, but Jack mentioned that I was wrong. So not batting right. Three strikes, you're out. So, but thank you for the consideration. And again, this will have a potential to help many town community events throughout the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. I will now hand the virtual gavel back to Chair Stevenson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. You know, we, as I mentioned in our last meeting, are likely to have one additional hearing of the informational variety after deadline, but this is likely to be our last committee meeting where we vote on bills this biennium. And so I wanted to take a moment and thank, first of all of the members of the committee for the excellent work that we've all done together these last 2 years. You know, I think we've had a really productive conversation in this committee. The Commerce Committee is different from a lot of committees in the legislature. It's not quite as partisan, and I have always enjoyed that. And I really appreciate Representative O'Driscoll for his good working relationship that we have enjoyed these last 2 years. You know, we don't always see eye to eye, but we are always able to talk, and I really appreciate that. And I think we've got a lot of good things done together, and I'm looking forward to working with you for the rest of this year and hopefully well into the future. But I also want to take a moment and thank our amazing staff that make this committee work. And you know, a very good politician once warned me that when you're thanking people, to never list names, because invariably you miss someone, and the person you miss is always more upset than the people you actually thank. But having said that, I'm going to violate that rule and name a whole bunch of people. I just hope that if I do miss anybody, they will understand and that someone will quickly correct me and add in, because it is not intentional. But I want to start with our amazing fiscal analysts that we've had on this committee. This year, we have Ashley Eng, who is new to this year, but has done phenomenal work, particularly in the last couple of weeks as we put together our omnibus bill. Last year, we had Sylvie Beckel, who also was great as we were putting together our budget bill. So thank you to both of them. We, of course, have phenomenal nonpartisan House research that makes us look all very smart and very good, and like we know what we're talking about. And so that's very important, and we really appreciate it. And I could probably name a dozen people, because the Commerce Committee's jurisdiction touches many different spaces, and oftentimes people from other areas come and work with us. But I just want to mention three people in particular. Ben Johnson, who has worked really hard with us on the sports betting bill this year that has taken up a lot of time and energy. Chris Klayman, who has been with us on all things liquor related. And then, of course, Lori Pompu, who is with us on a day-to-day basis on all things commerce. But of course, there are many other House research staff who touch on commerce bills, and we are very much appreciate that work. And then we also have phenomenal DFL staff for our side of the aisle here. Eric Anderson is our DFL researcher. He's been with us the whole biennium and for years before that. Eric does a phenomenal job. He's always available to answer questions and follow the various tangents that I lead him down. And I appreciate very much his patience and not getting too frustrated with me as I lead him all over the place. We have a new committee legislative assistant today, Jack Dockendorf, who's just a rock star, guys. You know, he's new to this committee. You'll be seeing him around the legislature for a long time and in many great places for years to come. I've known Jack for many years. I was so thrilled when he agreed to come work with us at the Capitol, and he has exceeded my very high expectations for him here at the in the Commerce Committee and around the Capitol. So thank you, Jack. And then, of course, I'm going to mention Addie Miller, who was our committee administrator last year. You know, I totally blew it and didn't really properly in this committee thank Addie Miller for her great work. And she's gone on to other things. We still see her around. I'm hopeful she's watching today, because Addie did just a really great job as our committee administrator last year. And particularly as a new chair, I appreciated her steady hand and helpfulness. And then last and most certainly not least, a big, big thank you to Simon Brown, who is our current committee administrator and was our committee legislative assistant last session. Simon is amazing. I hope everyone on this call understands that what a treasure we have in Simon Brown, the service that he's doing for the people of Minnesota. He is a brilliant guy who works very, very hard. You know, I often joke in meetings that Simon's the one who does all the real work. And I present it like a joke, but it's actually so true that Simon, without him, we would not be able to do the great work that we do here in both little things and big things. He is just a phenomenal asset to our committee. So thank you to all that staff. I know Representative O'Driscoll would probably like to chime in here too as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also like to thank you for your willingness to visit with me and to engage and trying to figure out how to deal with this entire pandemic situation we found ourselves in, having to sometimes fly by the seat of our pants, making decisions that no one ever thought we would have to be making as a legislative body, and dealing with those kinds of considerations. And I do believe that you and I do have different ideas and views on things, as you've pointed out. That is fine. That's healthy. That's good. But when you can work together to get things done, that's even better. And I appreciate my conversations about how to do the work of the people of the state of Minnesota, and you taking my suggestions and recommendations at times about how to be able to move things to help things get done for us. The second thing that I'd like to do is I'd also like to thank the nonpartisan staff. What we don't sometimes remember is that when we go home, when we are done, their work just begins, because they are processing paperwork for the next day for us, getting bills ready, getting bill summaries, getting things posted, and getting that material taken care of. And when you are in the majority, you do have people like Addie Miller and Mr. Dockendorf, Mr. Brown, and others who, you know, their staff, they're unsung heroes. They're there to help support that. They are the committee's administrator of assistant, or I should say legislative assistant, and they are the committee's CA, even though they may be partisan, in trying to help keep things flowing and keep things moving. And I have never stood in the way of allowing people to be able to advance or try to hold people. They are, in my book, I have always worked to try to help people spread their wings and to fly. And we lost a longtime researcher on our committee by the name of Chelsea Olson, who had been with us long before she was Chelsea Olson, when she was Chelsea Whitman. And she had an opportunity to leave the legislature, and I supported it because it was the right thing for her. And coming in shortly before we started is Casey Peterson. And Casey has been with our caucus for a number of years in various different roles, and Casey has grabbed on to this bullet train called commerce and has really been working hard to get us up to speed, to get herself up to speed, and the whole breadth of areas that you have spoken about, Mr. Chair, that we touch in the Commerce Committee. I want to thank your staff for working with her as well to the questions that she's had and our side has had to be able to help keep those things moving and to keep those things flowing. So again, thank you, everyone. And Kelsey, thank you for your hard work on our partisan side here as well. Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. And thanks again to all the committee members, all the staff, everyone who's watching and we work with. We appreciate that. We will be back probably after the break one last time, but until then, the committee is adjourned.